There is a famous saying, comedy is tragedy plus time. When Mel Brooks's film The Producers came out in 1968, the song Springtime for Hitler produced gasps. It was shocking. More than three decades later, the Broadway musical The Producers, with the same song, raised few eyebrows. There's been plenty of satire involving World War II, but most Americans would still consider jokes about 9/11 beyond the pale. NPR's Margot Adler reports.
Lou Viola watches comics for a living. He scouts for NBC TV all over the country and in Canada and England for new stand-ups, and he produces a comedy festival in Aspen, Colorado. He says after the attacks on September 11th, perhaps understandably, comedy club owners said, "Don't talk about it. People want to forget."
Don't upset anyone, which was really constraining to many of the comedians because there was a 500-pound elephant in the room. How could you not talk about it?
Viola says the most fearless jokesters come from Wall Street. Often the first jokes about current events arrive as emails from Wall Street brokers, but not this time.
Wall Street sat this one out.
Because it was there.
Because it was there, and it was them.
Instead, the first responses to the terrorist attacks were serious. New York Times columnist Frank Rich.
I think it took at least a year for anyone to have any kind of response that was not a mournful memorial, which is, of course, entirely appropriate, or a documentary response, in some ways an artistic version of the missing flyers that appeared all over New York after the collapse of the World Trade Center.
Columnist Frank Rich says if you look at historical events, the Depression, Vietnam, the AIDS crisis, artistic response goes through certain cycles.
There was a period of realism, social realism. You think of WPA-type theater during the Depression. And then eventually some of it can be spun off into satire. And so take AIDS. You know, it began much as 9/11 culture did with documentary dramas. Here are people manning a hotline, an AIDS crisis center. Here is Larry Kramer fighting with ACT UP or the gay men's health crisis for recognition. It blossomed into really serious drama like Angels in America, but it also ultimately produced things like Paul Rudnick's Jeffrey, which was a scathing comedy about AIDS that would have been unthinkable to have written 10 years earlier.
Over the last 6 months, says Rich, there have been a couple of comedies about September 11th. There was Recent Tragic Events, a romantic comedy about someone who has a blind date with a person whose sister is missing in the Twin Towers. It received mixed reviews and closed. More ambitious and still playing is Omnium Gatherum, in which terrorism and the events of September 11th become the main course at an upscale New York dinner party. A mix of satire and serious debate, the dinner party puts together a best-selling author, a British pundit, a famous hostess, a black minister, a Palestinian scholar, a firefighter, a terrorist, all get to air their views while downing gourmet food and too much wine.
The world will always use a double standard towards the Jews because they hate Jews.
Wonderful. What a wonderful point. Now, I'd like to turn your attention, if I may, to the salad.
This is the prelude to another Holocaust.
The big H.
Omnium Gatherum was written by Teresa Rebeck and Alexandra Gersten-Vassileros. They say that members of the audience often come up to them expressing a sense of relief that for once questions are not given pat answers and the conversation goes beyond the stereotypical responses they get from the media. The playwrights say it was never their intention for their characters to be specific people, as has been assumed in most reviews, that the hostess is Martha Stewart, the author is Tom Clancy, the Middle East scholar is the late Edward Said, and the British columnist is Christopher Hitchens.
We never claimed that that was so. That was more an angle that the press sort of landed on. We were looking for iconic positions, the kind of iconic positions that we were seeing again and again and again in the months after 9/11.
The play takes one of the most iconic figures from the September 11th tragedy, the fallen firefighter, and creates a comic and surreal situation. In one of the oddest scenes, the firefighter tells the other guests he will never see his children again.
Sure wish I could see him grow up.
You're not going to watch him grow up?
No.
Why? What happened?
I'm sorry. Didn't I tell you? He's dead, dear.
He's dead?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
I'm sorry. I'm a tad fuzzy. Did you just say...
Yes, that? Yes, he's dead. I told you.
Sus, I think I remember that.
I didn't know!
I told someone, didn't I? It's, well, I'm sorry. It's just it's so much to remember. Denver putting together the perfect dinner party. I mean, the details, they all start to run together.
Details?
And I'm sorry! I said I'm sorry!
Is there anyone else here dead?
I don't think so.
Frank Rich says it's rare to find any comedy that satirizes September 11th. Even the boldest comedians, he says, like Jon Stewart of The Daily Show, might make a joke about Iraq or President Bush or terrorism, but they won't make a joke, as Rich puts it, that's pure 9/11.
Look, we're not ready for it. So there's a certain kind of, I wouldn't call it censorship, but it's a very touchy area.
And yet, it's beginning to be explored in the theater. Lou Viola may watch comics for a living, but he says right now, the theater can take more risks.
No one owns those playwrights, and corporate America owns the media. And I think there's a terrible fear, which is behind this lack of discourse. People are afraid to speak out. Speaking out is disloyal now, except in the arts.
But if theater has more room to take risks, it does so at great cost. Omnium Gatherum is only expected to run until the end of the month. Margot Adler, NPR News, New York.